Thanks for tuning into Upward Way Podcast. If you're looking to be spiritually blessed, moved, and inspired, there is no doubt you are in the right place. On our show, guests recount their encounter with Christ and how their lives have been transformed through the grace and love of God. And now, please welcome our host.
Hello and welcome to Upward Way. I am your host, Marlon Walters. My guest today is a gospel recording artist, Kevin K. Anthony Fowler. Welcome to Upward Way.
Thank you for having me.
It's indeed a joy to have you here, and I know that the listeners are in store for a treat. I know you're a busy man, but God has made you available for this interview. I'm going to start with one of the, would say, obvious questions. You know, tell me a little bit about, you know, your life, you know, your sojourn. Where did everything for you start?
I was born in Montego Bay, Jamaica, and I grew up in Falmouth, Trelawney. So that's where my formative years took place. I went to Falmouth All-Age School. Got involved in track and field, was doing very well, got a scholarship to William Nibb. And for various reasons, specifically now, with the fact that I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, my mom thought it would have been a bad idea to allow me to take up that scholarship. And so she shipped me off to Harrison Memorial High School, which is a Seventh-day Adventist high school. After completing high school, my intention was to become an agronomist, something having to do with agri-science. And so my mom decided to call the institution. However, they weren't accepting at the time. And so she, at the time, I didn't see it as such, but she paused and then asked me, why not go to Northern Caribbean University and study music for a year, after which you can go and do what you were stating. I paused because I've always been passionate about music, but never thought about studying music. And I'm 100% sure that was the Holy Spirit speaking through her, just how everything came together. One, I was concerned because I was matriculated. And so that was hard. I think God was very much intentional with that. I could have gone into something else that probably seemed easier, but I wasn't matriculated. And so I had to do all the beginning courses and to learn to play piano up to grade 4. And so it was a tedious process. I didn't like it much. The part I think that held me more was the fact that I'd met some friends and the relationship was blossoming and was strong. I think that impacted me where I didn't want to leave them. Dari Davis, Andre Milford, I could list quite a bit more names. But those are the person who were central around me at that time when it comes to music. Because they were more out in my mind and in my eyes, they were more advanced than I was. And so I started doing voice lessons. I thought I had voice good, but then it was revealed to me that I have so much to do. And I'm grateful for both of my vocal coach, Miss Anderson and Dr. Curtis Watson. They have impacted my life greatly, especially from a male perspective now, having a male vocal coach, Curtis Watson. I enjoyed watching him perform live on stage, and this is a man who would have performed throughout Europe in different opera houses. And so I have a great respect for both of them, but specifically my male vocal coach. I never thought of going into songwriting because that wasn't offered, not until I was interested in a young lady at the time, and she said, you know, you always sing people's song. Have you ever thought of writing your own? You see, so for me, it's some step-by-step processes. I think I jump over some because I started singing when I was 12.
Yes, just before you continue, because I there are so many things, because I was just going to ask, you know, what it is that drew you into music to begin with.
Yeah, I'm glad we're backpedaling a bit. So my last year in primary school, At the all-age school that I went to, sixth grade, I would have been going to seventh grade into high school. Some days prior, before the last day, I followed some friends and to go to the beach when I shouldn't have. And I fell in a difficulty and almost drowned. It's as if the devil wanted to ended me right at that transitional point for whatever reason. And I remember clear as day because I could see my brother sitting on the shoreline. And the only thing I could have done at that time was to cry out to God and ask him to save me. And he sent someone, and that person saved me from dying because I was so bloated with water. And I had promised God at that time that I would give him my heart. It was difficult because there was a lot of attraction and things that I was looking forward to that I think that I could wait in terms of encountering God at that time. But I started singing with a friend, with two friends, who they had asked one of them to present at church. And he got a little bit fearful, feeling trepidation, and asked for help. So we sang with him. And then the church body was so supportive. They embraced us. They were happy to see three young men singing. And I don't know. I don't know if it's because we sounded good, but we were so appreciative of that and felt so good that we decided that we'll start meeting practice. So we'd sing songs from the hymnal. That transition, almost every week we wanted to sing until it moved from 3 to 4 to 5 members. I think it ended up at 6 at a point. And then I realized I had a passion for music. And so when I went to Harrison, I also formed a group in my later 2 years. So I got re really into it. And then for graduation from high school, I was the lead singer of the choir and the lead singer of a group. But how the music came into being, I would say, is that one, my mom wanted to have a conversation pertaining to my relationship with God. And we were sitting in the kitchen, and she said, "You know, you'll have to make a decision for God when it comes to track and field." And I wept bitterly because she wasn't really telling me to give up track and field, but she was making some point to say, "Hey, you're going to face some difficulties. Either you believe in the Sabbath or you're going to go against God completely." Of course, I understood what the Sabbath was, but I was saying to her, "Hey, God gave me this talent, so it must be that He wants me to use it." And then again, the Holy Spirit acted. She asked a powerful question that only God could have inspired her to ask, which is, "Have you ever thought that you might have another talent?" Because previous to this, I didn't start really singing. So I'm doing back and forth with the story. And I cried because I was so known for track and field. And so I was doing so well. I was famous for track and field. And so it's as if you were ripping who I am from myself. And so I said this out and think, and I know God heard me. I said, "Well," in tears, I said, "Well, if I have another talent, you need to show me." And that was when the friend was asked to sing, and that is how I got into music. Yeah, and so I completed high school, and then the story comes back to the point where I wanted to become an agronomist. And then the Holy Spirit impacted her to guide me into music.
So much has been unpacked in your story, and I'm trying to choose, which part, which one do I, piggyback on, so to speak. But as you talk about your journey in music, when someone has a talent, and obviously you had music was like your hidden talent, but when someone has a talent, the thinking many times is, it's easy. You just go out, and if it's track and field, you just compete, and you're gonna be a winner. And if you can sing, you just grab a mic, maybe rehearse a little. But you talk about learning to play the keyboard, having a voice coach and all of that. So the question I'm really asking, what is so important about spending time to own the talent that you have?
Each of us is given a measure of gift or gifts. And so I don't think God gives you the total package and it's intentional. It doesn't matter how amazing a person's songs are, or how creative they are. God give you a measure with the intention that you'll invest time in that. And upon investing in that, it helps you as an individual to build your character. So it's very important that you realize that the measure of gift you have been given is that you add to it and you put in more work to improve on it. And the story of the talents is a perfect example. You don't take it and just be comfortable with what you have been given. But you must be able to say, hey, master, this is what I've been able to add to this gift that you have given to me. So I think it's important for one's development, for one's growth and achievement, not necessarily achievement in terms of accolades, but achievement in terms of possible reach, because you can so limit yourself. I could have been just a church singer. Some persons will be. I decided that I didn't want to. Why? Because God has impacted me so much, I wanted the world to know.
Very succinct and very important. So we talk about accolades, and I know you have gotten a few. And if we should look at your recent, let's say, success, since 2001, sorry, since 2021, you have been nominated. You have last year you were Gospel Artist of the Year, and then this year you also won another award, which I'm coming to in a bit. But before we talk about those awards, what is the inspiration behind your music? So first, we'll look at the inspiration in terms of what makes you different from other Christian artists or musicians. And then we could look at, because that would be what would have caused you to be copying these awards.
What makes me different?
Well, you could tell us first the inspiration.
The inspiration behind my music is simply my common experience. I try not to overthink. Try not to. Sometimes I do. Overthink the process. I want to make it simple because we have common experiences. We have a common ground. It could be something I've read. It could be a sermon I've heard from a pastor that have happened before. It could be just a normal conversation that we are having, and you said something, and it just strike a note, and I'm hearing something different. Or it could simply be I just don't know what to do when I knelt and I asked God, what is it that you want me to say? So my inspiration when it comes to songwriting comes from different places. I try to be creative with a barrier, not overstepping it, but making sure I'm able to use a voice to speak to people where they're at. So sometimes people realize I don't sing a song that's how I want to phrase this now. Like, for example, I will sing a song titled like Don't Give Up. It's because I'm using the Jesus's approach in ministry, where he speak to the entire need of the man, and not just focus on one aspect of the man. So I care about you enough to tell you that I know you will go through heartache and pain, and some days will seem so gloomy, but don't give up. So it might not appear to be a biblical scripture-based song, but it's biblical because it's Christ's method. I'm showing people that I care about them and whatever they are going through, and not just want to baptize them or just introduce them to Christ. You understand? And so for many years, I think many persons didn't understand my approach to music. I
Right.
am going to speak about various things that's happening to you or that I've encountered, and then I will tell you what God can do for you, because that's how I see Christ guided his disciples.
So it's personal application.
Very much so.
All right. And then you were looking at, how are you different, if that is even a question to
Different
ponder.
am I don't know how different I am. I think my difference comes from the fact that we are different and my thumbprint is not yours, but not necessarily because I'm so super talented. I think my super talent comes in partnership. That's what I think. My super talent is being able to work with someone else of a different culture, different mindset, and when we come together, we make something beautiful. It has nothing to do with me being so talented or more talented than an individual. I think we all think different. And so we tend to respect one's approach because it's different from how we would possibly approach it.
Okay, so being open-minded and being willing to adapt to differences. Actually, from an outsider's point of view, you know, one thing I could say is different, you know, from you is I notice you sing with quite a lot of feeling, would say emotion. So the words you are saying comes across credible, as if you really believe what you are saying. And, you know, sometimes we may sing and because the voice is good, we think that is enough. But when you put some heart and soul into it, then it comes across differently. So go ahead.
Touch on that. I think that started from church, from when I was younger, but more so when I signed my first musical contract, that manager emphasized that. I remember him saying something, because it's one thing to be able to sing with emotions live than singing with emotions on a record that's going to stay forever. Two different things. So I have to make sure when I go to cut a record, I'm so connected, I'm conveying the song like it needs to be every time. So it's not theatrics, but there is need for theatrics. The theatrics comes when you are connected to what you're saying and you're conveying the message, knowing that you have this one opportunity to tell people that, hey, this is what I'm saying. So listen.
I love the way you put it. It's about presentation in simple terms.
Yeah.
Presentation. Wonderful. I want, you know, to unpack, you know, some of those experiences in terms of award and maybe the song or songs that would have, say, catapulted you into the spotlight for persons to say, yes, this song, this artist deserves to be recognized for his work as a musical minister.
So 2021, I was nominated for the Juno Awards, which is a great accomplishment. Just to be nominated, which spoke to the fact that people were taking notice, even though I didn't realize that. And then fast forward, I think 22, I won Gospel Song of the Year for the GME. Then 23, I won Gospel Artist of the Year for the GME. And now for 2024, I won the Album of the Year. So it's almost like a step-by-step process from being nominated, not winning, then winning Song of the Year. Then so it's almost like a step. Like God is very intentional. It's a song, then artist, then album. It's just refreshing to know that your peers or people within the industry think you're worthy of such an accolade. It's humbling, because I don't think I'm the greatest. But I know for a fact, and this is something that I'm not afraid to say, whether people think it's prideful, I work hard, because I don't know nothing else. I work very hard. My parents are very hard workers. My dad is an exceptionally hard worker. And so all of those elements and characteristics I would have seen in my parents and adopt them. Yeah, and so this is very much something that I appreciate.
You know, I'm going to allow you to say that statement again, right? I work hard. I work very hard. And it's instructive why I'm saying it, because there's a mindset sometimes among the individuals themselves and sometimes among persons outside that if you're from a third world country, if you're from the Caribbean, then you're going to be lazy and chill and you're just like on a rocking chair. Many people think that, you know, that quality to work very hard does not exist. So I wanted to say that again so that those who listen realize that hard work really and truly does bring success.
And it's something I've spoken to God about. I think I was always like this, but she wanted to be sure. So I had hired a PR. Her name is Kiona. We worked together for years. The first time she came across when we were meet, having our meeting to see if we would work together, see if we were good, would be good fit. She said this to me, and I very much appreciated it. She said, "I've worked with a lot of secular artists who you know, and I've never met someone who was so prepared in their presentation." Because when she asked me, "Do you have a bio?" and some other things, I was able to send her everything. And so she was shocked. She realized that I was already a forward thinker. And she said, "I'm going to ask you for one thing. Make sure you maintain your consistency in what you do." And I never forget that. Every once in a while, I will call her and tell her thanks because it was important for me to know. And so I've been consistently releasing, always trying to be innovative and see who I can work with that I think can bring something to life that's beautiful. So I'm always thinking beyond the point where you think I'm at. So the award is here, but I'm already working on another project. I've already focused on that. You know, I remember what's his name from on stage reached out to me and he said, "Hey,"
That's Winfred Williams.
his son, because I was so
Okay.
consistently releasing videos like every 2 months or 3 months, he decided to call me. And it was a weird call. He said to me, "What are you doing now?" I said, I'm seated. He said, "Okay." He said, "Take your right hand." It was so weird. I said, "Put it across your shoulder." And I did. And he said, "Pat yourself." And I did. And he said, "You deserve it. And I just want to let you know you deserve it because you're working really hard." And so that was also very motivating for me. As I said, it comes from my parents. My parents worked really, really hard. And I would have seen that. And I take on those characteristics. There are areas that I could have been better. But to say I haven't been working hard at this craft, I'll be lying to myself.
Yes, I really enjoy that. Sometimes you really have to give yourself a pat on the back. Now, there are two songs you have done, and with your permission, I will, insert for the listeners a bit later on. But there's this song, Free. And I want you to share with us, let's have a story behind the song Free. That is one. I will mention the other one a bit later on, because this one speaks to me in many ways.
So, I've been in the church for a long time, and people think that people who are in the church for a long time don't have issues that they battle with. And so, there was something on my heart, but I didn't know how to convey it. So I'd met this producer who I worked with and probably did some of my best work with. His name is Kevin Weinbarger. And the person who mixed and mastered is called, his name is Josh. So I just met Kevin and we had arranged for a songwriting. I felt incompetent. Yeah, it's weird. You would do something over and over and then still come to a point to think that, can I do it again? Just before I went into the songwriting, I was in my room and I told my wife, I'm gonna be busy for about an hour, two of the three. So I closed the door and I knew something was on my heart. So I knelt at the bed and I said, "God, only you can let what I need to write come out." And I said, "Don't embarrass me because I'm about to go in the songwriter and I need to at least go in there to sound like I know what I'm doing." That was what I said to him. I said, "I need you to give me a song. I've done it before many, many times, many times. Probably the best songs I've written are songs that just came rushing in as if somebody just giving me every single word and melody." And I got up off my knees, and immediately the song came in my head. Like someone was singing it. And I was like, "Whoa." So I quickly recorded it. So when we went into the songwriting, not only that one, not only that song, I think three songs came. Happy was one of them. I remember clearly it was Free, then Happy. There was another song. It's either I Saved It All, but it was three songs that I got within a very short space of time to go onto the phone call, which was crazy. And when I went on, I told him what I had, and he just started playing and just started saying, why not go this way? Why not add this? The song was done probably, I don't want to lie, probably 45 minutes. The song was done. And so that song is so special to me because of where I was, what I wanted, how different I wanted my Christian experience to be with in terms of the personal relationship with God. I wanted to be set free from some things, according to John 8:36. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. And so it was, God knew what needed to come up, but it was a personal experience, and there was some stuff happening, and I really wanted him to take charge of it and just cut me loose from it. And in using that song, it helped me to go into that direction.
Awesome. My interview is being gate crashed, so yes, it's sorry about that. I love what you said there, that you know, who the Son has set free is really free indeed. And we need to believe that. And I love also that individuals think that because you are Christians, because you are experienced, that you don't have moments of doubt, you know, moments of insecurity. But that's a good reference point, that God has something in store and he will set us free so that we can fulfill his work. You spoke about being forward thinking, and this next question seeks to answer that. So what are you doing now? You know, what is next on the horizon in terms of where you feel God is leading you at this moment?
Interesting question. So right now, as we speak, I'm actually in grad school doing a master's in divinity. So I have no clue what God is planning, because I never planned this part of my life. My plan was to tour extensively and bring the message through song. I don't know what God is doing. He has thrown a wrench into this field, and God has never made a mistake. So I'm just allowing him to do his thing, just to see how he plans to use the gifts that he has given to me. Because the intent of this all is to give him glory. I've had an interesting experience with him, and so I want to introduce people to him. Because as I said in previously to others, you know, God is like you having some nice jerk chicken from a particular spot. And because it was so good, you have to tell your friends about it. So that's who God is to me. So because he has been so good, we have had an experience. The parts that are not so good would be as a result of me being stubborn. So I just want to let people know who he is, what he can do for you, and that he's coming back.
So in essence, you have unearthed a new talent again. So
it seems so, you know, that's interesting. I never, ever, 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 accolade is always possible in music, but never in my wildest dreams have I ever thought to be a minister in that form. But still, I don't know what he wants me to do. You know, I've spoken to persons who have more experience, said you could want to bring it deeper with the word so that when you write, it's more impactful. Could be many things, could be chaplaincy. I like talking to young people, I like pointing, you know, guiding them. You know, I have made enough mistakes to tell them not to make those. So I think that's it.
Knowledge is power. So the more you know, the more impactful you could be.
Yes.
This question speaks to the internet. It's a tool that many thought or think, you know, it's just evil personified. But in terms of the music industry and your scope, your capacity to minister, How do you feel the internet has impacted the music industry?
Or the internet.
Has impacted the music industry? Or let's say, let me rephrase the question. So, from the standpoint of recording artists who wants to get the message of God's love out, how is the internet a valuable tool in that regard?
The internet is extremely important, I think. You see, there was a time when to get a message across, you would use cassette or CD, very tangible things that you have to pass out, you have to send, which takes time. Now, you see, you're in a totally different country than myself, but yet you're able to communicate direct in time. That's a beautiful thing. Now, the word of God can go out faster, so much more, go to deeper areas. And so I believe the internet will aid in the finishing of the gospel. It's all about perspective. I see it as a tool where I can reach millions of people. What you do with it is now dependent on you. In whatever you do, you can reach thousands of people. You should then avail yourself to use it for good. And so, as long as you're using it for good, that's a good thing. And if you see the possibilities of you using it to glorify God, that's a good thing.
Wonderful. It's how we use the tool that will create the right kind of impact. Now I'm going to go back a little before I go to that final song about struggles, because that's one thing that we don't get a chance to understand enough of, struggling and then at the same time being victorious. So what would have been maybe one or two of the greatest struggles you have faced, and I'm not talking simply from the perspective of music, but in life in general, and then how it is that you have been able to overcome that or those struggles.
I think a lack of support, it used to bother me a lot and eat me up from the inside, having an expectation of people supporting you. But then I realized that are not obligated to support you. What you should do is to create the demand of people realizing that they need what you have to offer. Then they will support you. Someone said something to me once, and I realized that, and I said, you know what? I will just shift that mindset. I'll create such a demand for myself that they will want to hear what I have, which means the message should be potent. See, John the Baptist was in a desert, a wilderness, preaching, but the people were coming to him. Why? It must be what he's presenting. They find it to be interesting. And so, yeah, create a demand. From a spiritual perspective, I've struggled with weaknesses. And I won't necessarily specify no, but it doesn't matter what your struggle is. If you're serious about it and you give it to God in a genuine way, He will fix it for you. See, I've had good friends who are able to be great support. To say, hey, this is not the way you should go, my friend. Remind me of the call that God has placed on my life and say, hey, let me tell you the truth. I couldn't probably manage an accolade like this when I was 25. But because of all the hardship that I've gone through and how God has revealed himself to me over time, it has humbled me and allow me to be more reflective and think about every step that I'm about to take. And so I thank God for that I wish it came earlier, but I thank God for the fact that he realized who I am, my difficulties and challenges, and he just simply said, to save you, I'm not going to give you that at that stage. I'm going to give you a bit later when you are much more willing to listen to what I have to say. And that speak of a wonderful God, a God that's genuinely a father, that he cares for me, that he won't give me something that will harm me. Everyone needs people who are around them who are not yes people. And I have some people who, doesn't matter what I have achieved, that doesn't care. They're going to be able to correct me and say, hey, nah, that's not the right step. And I'm happy for them. And I never want no yes persons in my corner. I don't want that.
You are making me laugh quite a bit. Not the yes people. I wanted to rerun that statement because it's important to get right about people not obligated to support. You should create the demand. Could you say that again?
Yeah, people are not obligated to support you. You are the one that's supposed to create the demand for yourself so that they can see the need of your service or whatever you are offering. It took me a while to get that because I felt crushed because certain radio stations wouldn't play my music and it felt like they didn't appreciate what I'm doing, which possibly they did, but I shouldn't necessarily focus on that. This is a wide world. There's more than 7 billion people in the world, probably about 8 now. So if a few people don't appreciate what you're doing, that's okay.
That is okay.
you can't put on your expectation on people. You have an expectation for people. That's a bad thing. It's your expectation. They don't have possibly the same view that you have. But I can tell you, people to support your program is in this world. Not outside of it. It's in this world. Meaning, you're going to find the people who really appreciate what you're doing. And that's what you should focus on.
Awesome. That is important. And I hope that my listeners have gotten it, that there is enough support. You just need to find those who will support whatever it is that you are doing. Brilliant point. I have to allow it to take roots so that it soaks in. So the next song I want you to, you know, share a little about, this one says, you know, fight for me. A lot of conflict is taking place in our world. I don't know if that's the inspiration behind it, but quite a lot of conflict, you know, internal conflicts, conflicts between different countries. A lot is happening. But here it is, you are saying, you know, fight for me. So what's the story behind this song? Because I really enjoy it.
The story behind this song is, it's crazy. So when I came here and entered ministry, the devil started, I'll just be quick with it and don't go too deep, started attacking my daughter by speaking. And that affected me terribly. I took a walk one day and I said, God, yeah, the devil has attacked me in my life, but my kids. Not saying they're totally off limit, it's just the approach for me is off limit. She's too young to experience it and I want God to step in because she can't handle that. And so it was a situation where one day I was at home, I sensed some presence. And so we can always live our life to act as if there is not a real war going on. Real war of the soul. But this is real. They weren't home and I could sense some presence. Just like what she was experiencing, she was here more than sensing presence. And so, it's crazy how this producer from Brazil reached out to me and said, bro, I love Free and I want to work do a song with you. I've never met this individual. So I said, I wasn't even in the frame of mind to write. So he said, can you just send me a melody? I was reading the Bible at the time. And something in Deuteronomy, I don't remember the text, speak about God fighting for you, and immediately I started singing it and I just recorded it and sent it to his DM. He messaged me like, I said, I love this melody, I'm gonna work on something. He built a track and I said, this is interesting, this is not bad. And I just started writing. Then I'd gone to Canada to do a concert and I came back. My friend Lloyd Nix introduced me to another person, Angie. She's currently my recording engineer and vocal producer. And after we met, I sent her the song and she liked it and we worked on it. And then we ended up that wasn't the plan, to end up singing the song together. So this song is coming from a place of attack, and it's reminding you that God is fighting for you even when you can't see. Because if he should remove the scales from your eyes, you'll see mighty angels standing guard.
Tremendous. I decided to check. I think that the Bible verse you might be referencing is from Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 22.
Yeah. Read it.
All right. Reading from the International Standard Version, the Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you.
Yes.
Just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, you shall not fear them, for the Lord is your God who fights for you.
For you, yes.
Yes, yes. Awful.
I don't know why God took me to Deuteronomy. God is just amazing, bro. Sometimes I will just sit and look back at the simple things we tend to overlook, and I just said, wow. Because I just went to the verse and I was just going through and I saw it. I was like, wow. Because I needed it, because imagine my daughter is going through this. A sleepless night, and so God just gave me a reassurance that listen, no principalities, no power is as big as I am, and I am fighting for you. I will allow this and no more, and I'm allowing this for you to know that I am your protector, because I am before you. He's not just before you, he's around you, he covers you. And he has done it in the past, and he will do it in your present, and he will also do it in your future.
Fully surrounded. I will toss the final question at you. And this speaks to advice to individuals who, I don't want to say follow in your footsteps, as in, you know, every step you make, but someone who is thinking about ministry, whether it has to be a preacher, a singer, an inspirational speaker, whatever, a health practitioner, but someone who wants to minister for Christ, who wants to dedicate his or her life for ministry, what advice would you give to him or to her? And if you want to speak specifically to a music minister, then be my guest.
Just to fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with him. Fall in love doesn't take place one day.
Yes.
So just be open and mindful that God cares about you. He wants what is best for you. And seek him first to find out what is it that he wants you to do in this life. I take that seriously. I believe that we were all created for a reason. And if we are smart, we can allow God to fulfill that reason before our time expires or before he comes. And be humble, always be teachable, be consistent, be persistent, work hard, spend time, whatever the craft is, to learn more about it, and invest in it. And just, for me, love people, want to connect with people. Doesn't matter if you're in business or not, you can use the gifts that God has given to you to point people to him by being honest, respectful, just simple things, having kind words to give to people, dedicated, and God will see you through. Allow yourself to be surrounded by a good set of people. As I said before, you don't want any person around you to be always agreeing to whatever you're doing. You want people who are on a serious spiritual journey also to say, hey, you know, who genuinely care and loves you and want to see you saved, and won't sit back and allow you to mess up your life. Be very prayerful. Spend time in prayer. Spend time reading the word. Having that open connection with God consistently, and allowing him to use you.
Wonderful. Let me say thanks for taking the time out to speak to us today. We have been speaking with Kevin K. Anthony Fowler, gospel recording artist and Juno Award winner for Album of the Year for 2024. Of course, before we go, just to recap some of what we have discussed, he grew up over there in Falmouth, Trelawney, that's in Jamaica, went to Harris Memorial High School, despite being awarded a track and field scholarship. Could say his sojourn or his deep dive into music ministry came on the background or the support of maybe three key components: church support, having sung one afternoon, his mom's counsel, and of course being mentored by fellow students and voice coach at university. Then of course he spoke to his work ethic, that hard work does bring success, which is what caused him to be getting these awards. And he has shared with us the inspiration behind the song Free, which is one you will certainly enjoy. What he's doing now, he's doing his Masters of Divinity. And this is another of God's surprise for him. But importantly, he spoke about the fact that sometimes when we travel along our journey, we may face a lack of support. But don't worry, if you create the demand for yourself or your product, then others can see that they are in need of your service. And final 2 points, this song Fight For Me, based on Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 22, that God will basically surround us to protect us. And if you are thinking of going into full-time ministry, his advice for you is simply fall in love with Jesus. So with that said, as is customary on this show, do you have any parting words for our listeners?
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's my favorite text, and any day you can trust God with it. Just give it to him. Just give your cares to him. Give your talents to him. Seek him, and he will sure to guide you.
It's all about trusting God with all your hearts. Also, my favorite Bible passages. You've been in tune to Upward Way. Do join us again next week when we'll have another interesting guest sharing his or her story of faith. Subscribe to weekly episodes on the Apple, AWR, Spotify, Loud Voice, or Stitcher apps. And you're also welcome to visit Upward Way Facebook page, click like, and leave a comment. And if you feel inspired, you want to donate to the ministry, then you are more than welcome to do so. Until then, I'm Marlon Walters saying goodbye. May God bless you.
You've been listening to the Upward Way podcast, the number one audio production show for people who want encouragement and reassurance in a muddled world.